What if you were born with a disease that you always knew would kill you? And then what if all of a sudden you were given a second chance? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. And it's the question that we explore on the new podcast series, Breathless, from Snack Labs. Join me, Jeremy Saunders, for a series that explores what it means to live and die, to love and to lose, and what it's like to have your whole life turned upside down and the unexpected challenges that come with a life-saving drug. You can listen to Breathless now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
While the intro
Why
music
do you
is playing.
To talk?
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love. I don't have headphones on. I can't hear that.
I know. Well, neither do I. But I did say, are you ready? And you were like, yep. And I go, okay, here we go.
Do you always play the music like that?
Well, I do it. Yeah. I mean, there's different ways you can do it. I generally insert the music first.
Okay.
And then mess with the levels so that when we are wearing headphones, which we normally do.
Yeah.
We can listen to the music while it plays us in.
Okay.
Anyway, this who fucking cares? ready to talk about some sex?
Yeah, let's do it.
Actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's take care of a few housekeeping items.
I'd like you to cut your toenails.
Have you seen my nails?
Yeah.
They look fucking great right now.
They look like seashells. They have a really nice gloss to them.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever talked about that on the show. I paint my nails.
Yeah.
My toenails, mostly because I just really love the way that it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I teach yoga, I'm not wearing shoes, and I like
attractive feet.
I like catching my colorful toenails like in my peripheral vision.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they're looking really good right now. Becca picked out this color, and it's like a shimmery.
It's like an inside of a seashell. It kind of catches this like. Coral kind of glow in some lights.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I usually go for like a more of a nude sort of color, like mm-hmm. a really pale pink.
Right.
Or like a beige.
Yeah. And you know what's nice is that I don't really like having my fingernails painted, but with my toenails, they can get chipped and stuff and it's not right in my face.
Exactly.
I don't have to see it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Bling.
Anyway, so, babe, we had our anniversary.
Yeah, it was great.
We did it.
Yeah.
And it was such a lovely day.
It was.
And I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who messaged us and wished us a happy anniversary. It was a very happy day. We went to the beach.
We carried that whiny dog over there all the way down the beach.
You can kind of hear one of the dogs we have is just whining here in the corner, if you can hear her.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah. Hi, Maynard. Hi. I know. So we took all the dogs to the beach. I think there were a total of 8 dogs.
Yeah,
at the
with
beach.
That pit bull.
Yeah, it was stressful to say the least, but also it was quite sweet as well. And then we took our traditional annual anniversary photo with you on my shoulders, but I threw my back out.
Yeah, we know. You threw your back out.
Oof. Again. Yeah. So we had to do it laying on the ground, and Taylor got up on Brian's shoulders and took the photo.
It was a spectacle.
Yeah. It was really nice. And we gave each other gifts for like the first time.
Yeah, that
anniversary
was,
gifts.
It was the first time in a long time.
So what did you get
it
me?
It felt a bit strange. I got you a necklace.
You got me a really nice necklace with a nice pendant. A knife pendant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Pro Skates.
And I got you what I said I would get you on the podcast.
A
crocheted bikini.
You sure did. Purple and white.
It's pretty sweet.
Not wearing it in the photo, but it's only because
we should take a photo of you in it.
Oh yeah, we'll get one.
Put it up.
We'll get one. It's funny because I remember my mom gave me a crocheted bikini when I was like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11. And I was like, this is scandalous. I don't think I can wear this.
So I want to just give a quick shout out to the woman who actually made it. You can find her on Instagram, and it's at planet_Jupiter. And she basically makes crocheted clothing.
And she sells them online?
She sells them online, yeah, and ships worldwide.
Cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I gotta check more of that out.
Yeah, she's from here. She's from Nova Scotia.
Rad.
Yeah,
love that.
So there was that. That was really nice. And then the other thing that I want to just take a moment to acknowledge is that we've been nominated, babe.
For what, babe?
We've been nominated for the podcast awards, the annual podcast awards, under the mature category.
I noticed that there's some what else is on that list of nominated? I don't know any of the podcasts.
I don't know them either.
Them
Loving
out.
BDSM. That mm-hmm. sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
The Lonely Hearts Cafe.
I've heard of that, I think.
I like that name. Gay Straight Debate.
Okay.
Good Looks, Bad Looks. Good Looks, Bad Books.
Okay.
An Older Gay Guy Show.
Okay.
I like that.
That's the name of a show?
Yeah, it's called An Older Gay Guy Show.
Okay, I like it.
There's a couple other ones there.
Check all these out.
Yeah.
I always wonder how to find these mature themed podcasts.
I think you literally just like go to iTunes and look up like
sex
or mature. Yeah. So we've been nominated. There's a bunch of like other categories with like some pretty big heavy hitter names. You can't vote. They have like a voting committee. So like, I think at this point it's just kind of up in the air whether we get it or not.
Oh, okay.
But if anyone did nominate us or like,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
That's super cool.
It's kind of fun.
Are we nominated for Best of Halifax this year?
Oh fuck. That was the other thing. We've been nominated for Best of Halifax, Best Podcast.
Did I just break some news to you?
Sick Boy has won it the last 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Probably going to win it again.
Very likely we'll take it again this year.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to this, I would love to just like, just take it under the rug from Sick Boy. So if you're listening to this, go on over to bestofhalifax.com or something like that. Just Google Best of Halifax.
And at the coast,
register to vote.
2018. I find it very hard to search for that.
It's pretty easy.
We should put the link out.
Yeah, just Best of Halifax.
Okay.
We can put it out. It's on our Instagram too. Okay. Enough. That was, Jesus Christ, that was 7 minutes of just like pure garbage.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Let's
there's a couple things.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things, and I don't know whether we should start with this this brain boner or if we should start with kind of the other thing that's been bugging us a little bit. What do you think?
Let's go brain boner because it's interesting, and then we can get complainy.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. All right. So this brain boner is from Toronto. Hey guys, love, love, love the podcast and so happy to be listening again after the big break. My husband, oh yes, this came back in June. My husband and I have been poly for about 4 years and I've been dating someone for 2 years now. My boyfriend and I are an amazing match and we've started to blend our families by having trips together with the kids and lots of family time. It's really quite beautiful. I'm writing because I'd like your opinion on an ongoing issue I've had with my boyfriend for the past year and a half. He can't say he loves me. He loves everything about our relationship, but he can't say that he loves me. I can see there is a lot of love between us. It's undeniable. When we've talked about this issue, he always tells me that he wants to redefine the word, and it's not something he can say, although on a drunken evening one night he confessed that he can't say it because he doesn't know how to separate his primary and secondary love. I can't find anything online about ways to deal with loving multiple people and how to work through primary and secondary feelings. What are your takes on this? For me, it's easy. I'm super emotional and I just love everything. But for him, it's not, and I'm really trying hard to understand it. There's nothing harder than having to censor yourself after some good sex when you want to scream, "I love you." What is your take on this? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, so hold on. She's married?
Yeah.
And her boyfriend is the one who can't say he loves her?
Mm-hmm.
But she loves, and she has no problem saying I love you to him.
Exactly.
Okay. So, okay. So, honest to God, I, and this might sound a little glib, but I think really the issue here is that both of them are putting too much weight on the meaning of a word, right? So like, okay, she loves everything and loves to say she loves. She's like me. That's me. I fall in love 5 times a week. I love everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is the best thing I've ever seen in my life,
mm-hmm.
right? I love to say the word love. I love to show love. I love, 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 love. But also, I don't put too much weight behind that.
Right?
There's some things about love that I take very seriously, but also there's a lot of it that I, it's like, I love you, but it's not like that article. I love you, but don't make a big deal about it.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
Right.
So I feel like she's kind of in that boat.
Right.
Whereas her boyfriend is the complete opposite. It's like the word love is like saying the word Voldemort.
It's so funny because I identify with that person.
With him. Yeah, you're him.
Yeah, so much. Like, yeah. I find it really hard to say something that I don't feel is true or, like, don't feel connected to deeply. Like, if I don't feel it, I have a really hard time saying it. And when it comes to I love you, that's one that sometimes I literally have to, like, grit my teeth and say it because I know the other person needs to hear it, and I know that I do, but I just don't fucking feel like saying it for some reason.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, so, right, so that you're him,
mm-hmm.
I'm her. And in the same, like, so if she just is able to just say, I love everything, and so easily.
Yeah.
I think you also need to just be kind of cool with the fact that someone else can't, and not put the weight behind the fact that they can't.
Yeah.
Just because he can't say he loves you doesn't mean that he doesn't love you.
Yeah. You know what, too? And there's that whole thing about the 5 love languages is like, you say it. It sounds like you're verbal about
right.
it, and he might just not be verbal about it. And so maybe you could look at other ways he might be saying he loves you with his actions. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know,
like, I know it feels good to be told that, like, I love you. Like, when you say I love you or when you text me, like, I love you,
mm-hmm.
it fills my heart.
Right.
Like, it feels so good.
Because I don't say it very often.
Yeah, you don't say it. You don't say it as much as, like, I say it.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like I'm not the greatest one to, like, add to this because I find like nothing matters. Like that's the way I approach life in general is nothing fucking matters.
Unless you're engaged in some road rage.
Yeah.
And then, then something matters very much.
And everything matters. Yeah. No, but like I always have to remind myself, like, whenever I'm feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Nothing fucking matters.
Yeah.
We're dead in like no time at all.
Yeah.
So is it really that big of a deal that Bridie hasn't used a particular word mm-hmm. at me yet she gave me a really nice kiss when she left this morning and went out and took the car to work? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we place so much meaning behind words when,
and we have such different relationships to words, like, yeah. Even, you know, I'm talking about love, so that can mean something really different for me than it could mean for you.
What was her issue? She just wants to figure out a way to get him to say it to her.
I think So then she said that she thinks a real issue, or he said that the real issue, he told her this when he was drunk. And I think you have to take everything a little bit with a grain of salt when people say it when they're drunk, because it's not balanced. It may be true, but it's not balanced. Anyway, but that he was having trouble differentiating between primary and secondary love. So that made me wonder if, like, does he have a primary partner outside of you that he's like, he feels he can say I love you too, but doesn't feel like he can say it to you?
Because she's the secondary partner. Because
it's reserved, or it's exactly, it's reserved for one partner. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe. And again, I think it's just, I personally, from the outsider's perspective,
mm-hmm.
I just think there's just too much meaning being placed behind the words.
Yeah.
You know, like, even primary and secondary, it's, you know,
even
some people hear that and they go, oh,
even wife and girlfriend, or husband and boyfriend, like, people have a definite attachment to.
Well, as soon as you put a label to it, as soon as you put like a word on it, it will foster and like cultivate these meanings to mm-hmm. particular people on one side or the other.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those meanings are non-valid.
Right.
You know, like valid, yes, valid in that you feel a certain way, but non-valid because,
that's not what that word means.
It's not what it means.
Yeah.
Like it, like we never use the word, you and I, for example, you and I, and we'll use Becca. We've never used the term, Bridie's my primary partner and Becca's my secondary partner,
mm-hmm.
because Bridie and I own a house, or we live in a house together,
yeah.
and we own a pet together, and we pay bills together, and we share a credit card. Beck and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you're my primary and she's my secondary. We never use that term.
Right.
In the beginning, we were like, all right, Bridie's the inside partner and Becca's the outside partner.
Right.
But then that even like sort of dissipated.
That didn't last at all.
No, it lasted like a week.
I don't even remember. We didn't have other words in place of that, though, I don't think. It was just, I guess, just girlfriend and wife.
I mean, if I'm introducing someone, I'll say, this is my wife, Bridie.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, this is my girlfriend, Becca.
Yeah. Sometimes, this is my wife, Bridie, and this is my girlfriend, Becca. Right in the same conversation.
In the same conversation, yeah. Becca, a couple of times has verbalized, like girlfriend just doesn't seem, like...
as important.
Strong enough.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wish you could like introduce me as your life partner. And I'm like, I'll never introduce anyone as my life partner.
What about the word partner?
Yeah.
Just partner, yeah. You know, like if everyone just becomes a fucking partner. Because I think because of those things you listed that we have, that we share, it's like, that doesn't, I've always, you know what? I'm totally having this flashback to being a kid and having my stepmom tell me that, you had your family and then your extended family. And I had a really hard time with that because I have siblings that I guess were considered my extended family because they didn't live with me. But I never could grasp this like hierarchy of people's value.
Yeah.
But anyway. So
And that's the thing. Like introducing a hierarchy To me, it just seems it seems problematic.
I also don't know how to.
But for some people, it really works.
The hierarchy thing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and some people love it. Some people really enjoy that aspect to it. I feel like we're not giving her like any solid advice. I think we're just kind of
Do you know any? Well, yeah. Do you know any resources on it? I mean, more than two. Have you read that? I haven't actually read it, so I shouldn't say that. I've read the first few pages.
Beck has been reading the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just open things up.
Okay.
And she's been reading it hard.
I find it's really good when you're going through like an emotional shift of some kind in your relationship to have like a book like that nearby.
The book is called More Than Two. It's this giant book. It's like the encyclopedia of ethically, I mean polyamory. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what's the term that Chris Ryan kept using in that workshop?
Like pioneering or?
No. Jesus Christ. How the fuck am I not? My brain just shut off.
My brain.
Consensual non-monogamy.
Okay.
Boom.
Consensual non-monogamy.
Or ethical non-monogamy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the book is like, it's huge. It's a huge book. And you basically use it as like a reference book.
Yeah.
You're feeling a certain way. Well, go to the book and find the section that that is about and read it. And it's
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
I got to read that. I don't even know what I'm recommending when I recommend that.
I hope that helps. What, did she have a name? Gilan? I hope that helps you.
Yeah, I hope it helps you too.
You know?
I never know if it's okay to say someone's name, even if they put it. Because sometimes people's email addresses display their like true names, but then...
I know. When people email us and they're like, please keep this anonymous. I'm like, sure. But also, we know your name. So anyway, I hope that helps. And I mean, it you know, it's nice. It sparks a little conversation there.
Yeah. It's good food for thought, for
it
sure.
It is food for thought. Yeah. All right, you ready to complain a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's keep it brief. Let's keep it brief.
Okay. This is a very brief note to say that we had a thing happen where we had to remove an episode because a past guest that was on that episode was getting some flack for it from the community.
Yeah, she was an anonymous guest. Mm-hmm. She used a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in her social circle heard the episode.
Recognized
it. And then word kind of got around.
Mm-hmm.
And then to like family members, word got around.
Yeah.
And then it became, it basically steamrolled into this scenario, this situation where our past guest, reached out to us to be like, my entire life is now in shambles and about this thing because everybody in my life thinks that
are concerned
that I've lost my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Based on her sexual decisions and her choices and preferences in relationship.
Yeah. And that really just didn't sit well. And obviously we want to continue to support our friend and guest, but we wanted to just mention it because shaming is like a form of bullying, and I think we really need to be wary of how we express our concern and worry. I know I feel that, like when I think about my younger sisters or my nieces, like of course I want to take care of them and protect them in every way I can. But I think just since we've been talking about language, there's got to be a better way of expressing that and putting that on somebody else to carry your concern and your worry. Not you, the listener, but all of us, because we've all been clumsy with our words, I think, from time to time. And we don't realize how quickly shame can happen. Like, you know, the minute someone questions anything you do, they're that's the budding, that's the seed of shame right there. Mm-hmm. It can be anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I like it, what I understand, the scenario and the situation that our friend was in, mm-hmm. our past guest was in. And, I get it. I get why there was such a sort of shock to the friends and family.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's this part of me that's like, can't just enough. Like, can't we just be over this like fucking thing where sex is like shamed and like, you know, made to be so taboo, and this thing that we are all doing, mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are all fucking, we all exist because of it, right? So almost everybody on the planet is engaging in sex or wants to engage in sex. Mm-hmm. So like, why can't we just fucking talk about it and not make it such a big deal? You know, like two examples of this were, I had posted the Vice article on Sick Boy's Facebook page to be like, hey, this other podcast that we do, we were featured in Vice. Check out the article. And I guess there's a bunch of people who listen to Sick Boy who aren't aware okay. of Turn Me On.
Right.
And there was this this woman who commented on that article and basically expressed her concern that board members of where she works will catch light of Turn Me On mm-hmm. and be and like be angry, or like she might get in trouble because she's been pushing Sick Boy through her work and to her colleagues so actively since she saw me speak at a conference.
Yeah.
At a conference that has nothing to do with sex, has everything to do with like death and dying.
Right.
And I read that comment and I was like, what? What do you like? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, why does that? Why does that matter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And like, and then the other thing, like, if anybody didn't read the article, the Vice article, there was also they talked about how Taylor from Sick Boy and myself were mm-hmm. cast as starting teammates on this very, very popular Canadian reality TV show mm-hmm. competition.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks before we were set to start shooting,
yeah,
they cut us because the network got word of
Turn Me On.
Yeah. And they were like, nope, this is a family show. And our advertisers get wind of this, then, you know,
yeah.
they might pull out of the whole shebang. And it's like, guys, we're talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah, it is that big of a deal for some people. Like, it's very, you know, private, very private thing that needs to be
yeah.
kept in the dark.
Yeah, like, things can be private, mm-hmm. but things don't have to be shamed or kept in the dark, like you say. Like,
yeah,
you can have privacy in your life, but also just acknowledge, just admit it. Yeah. Just admit it. We're all freaks. We're all fucking freaks. We all like to put our genitals in and on and through things. And we like to have things on our genitals, and we like to have things in our genitals, and we want to fuck. Mm-hmm. People fuck.
Yeah, well said.
That wasn't well said. Anyway, do we want to say anything about that particular? We pulled the episode. We didn't want to pull the episode, but also we wanted to like,
yeah,
you know, dampen the fire that was going on in our friend's life, and so we decided it would be best to help her out, to just pull the episode, and maybe we'll put it back up at some point.
Yeah,
maybe not, but.
Yeah, no, I think that was everything. I just didn't want removing the episode to be the last word on the subject, because it just seems kind of contrary to what we're trying to do. And and I guess just the takeaway is maybe just, I'm going to be definitely more mindful of my languaging around, you know, and gossip is like so
it's the worst.
It's addictive. It actually releases chemicals in your brain that you are, can be addicted to, and it's really hard.
I used to be really bad with it.
Yeah.
And then in university, I remember one time a bunch of people were gossiping in our class, which, like, that shit was happening all the time in theater school.
Yeah.
And Gio, our friend Gio, was in the circle while the conversation was happening. And I remember him just going, I don't like this, and just walked away.
And when I saw that,
I was like, hey, yeah, I don't think I like this either. And it was like from that moment forward, I was just like, I don't like talking smack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good.
No.
You know?
All right.
Anyway, that was great. Let's start to this week's episode. It's a great one. If you listen to a couple episodes back, I believe it was titled Shameless Hussy. We talked to Shameless about her and her boyfriend's threesome escapades and their relationship. Well, this week we've got Shameless's boyfriend on the mic, and we dive into a whole bunch of things, like their relationship, him as a fat kid turning into a beefcake hunk of hot mess, and I think we can do a little bit of pegging.
I think we almost missed it, but
we got into it. So enjoy this episode with our pal H, and we'll see you on the other side.
Bye bye.
And okay, I'm excited for this, because this is, you know, we've had like a number of people reach out who wanted to come on the show, like as a couple, and we tried it a couple times, and it's actually really hard. It's really tough to like have a conversation with a couple
or a thruple
or that's really tough too. We had a thruple on, and it was awesome, but then one of the tracks got fucking deleted, and we lost the episode. Anyway, so we don't have a couple on, but H, you're here, and a couple of weeks ago, your girlfriend Shameless was on the show, and we talked to her, and a lot of what she talked about had to do with you, and then you were like, "Well, fuck, sign me up. I want to come on, and I want to speak my piece." So I like that we have like a couple, but you guys are separate, and we can hear.
And we can talk things about each
other. Let's talk shit about Shameless.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, it'd be tough to have a couple on, because automatically when you're in the same room, you're kind of constrained about what you want to say.
That's right.
You're staring down the barrel of a gun. You're like, you got to go home to me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You might not get laid tonight because of what you say.
That's like every time Jeremy and I go to a party together, and I'm a teaser, so I'll tease, but Jeremy is like, you're a fucking dick, actually. And I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking around and making jokes about us. And you're like, no, you're just being a jerk. And so I feel that way.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, we will
hang out
sometimes.
Did that happen last night?
No, it didn't happen last night. I'm in a much, like, as of the last few years, I'm in a much better, like, behavior. But I know.
Are you just talking about when you get drunk?
Yeah.
And you turn in, and you legitimately turn into a hateful witch at me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, so I totally get what you're saying.
I don't think that's what H was saying at all, but sure.
Staring down the barrel of a gun. But right. I understand the feeling of like constantly checking in with your partner, being
totally.
Like, is it okay that I'm saying this? As opposed to just being like, I'm going to say this. I'll think about it later.
You have a little more freedom.
Yeah.
Try dating Shameless. She just says it and then looks at me and is like, oh, God.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
She seems like that kind of lady who's just like, Not scared to speak her mind at all.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Shameless and you, H, I've got a question. It's fucking hot. We're like in the middle of this crazy ass heat wave.
Said the whole planet.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else in the world is feeling this, but it was like this in London too. It was insane. It's been insane for the last 2 months. Do you find that, because we were talking about how you don't have like AC at your house. Mm-hmm. Does that, do you guys find it hard to fuck in heat waves?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Does it just like turn you off from it?
I don't think it doesn't turn you off. You just don't have the energy. Like, because when we like go at it, it's just the sweatiest time of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, she's committed to me dripping sweat on her forehead that she's just going for it.
But yeah.
Like, you're just too hot and exhausted. Mm-hmm. You spend a whole day out in the heat and you just want to like lay down each other and like touch each other.
Barely.
Just like fingernail on fingernail.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I usually just touch her butt. Just the tips of my fingers on her butt. And that's like good.
Yeah.
I like it. But with all the dogs in our lives right now, sometimes it's like, it's not just the heat and the sweat, but it's also like, there's a lot of dog hair.
Yeah.
On everywhere. The bed. And
oh,
that
man.
Makes me not.
Becca and I have got a thing about dog hair on the bed. Her dog sheds a lot.
Does she?
And
does he?
Yeah, you know this. I know you do.
I know because I sweep my floor twice a day.
As soon as Lito gets up on the bed, it's like, all right, well, I can't sleep in this bed anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just a Lito. It's just Lito.
It's just sleeping on Lito.
It's been making me think about Do the Right Thing. Do you guys remember that movie? The Spike Lee joint, Do the Right Thing. Takes place in it was back in the 80s, I think, is when the film came out, or back in like early 90s. Takes place in New York during a heat wave, and Spike Lee is actually stars in the movie. Hmm. And there's a scene where he's with his girlfriend, and it's this like really sensual sex scene where he takes an ice cube and he just like runs the ice cube all over her body, like on her nipples and on her butt and upper legs and their thighs. It's a great, great, great film scene. And I just keep thinking about that ice cube. I'm thinking, man.
Have you done that with an ice cube yet?
No, but I was thinking about maybe doing it.
It's pretty great.
Fuck, I'll do it tonight. You should watch it tonight.
I'm going to watch it tonight, but yeah. I also recommend the whole ice cube thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be prepared, like, don't just bring an ice cube. You need like a bowl.
A bowl yeah, of right. ice
Well, because like a bowl of ice cubes, because they melt, and then like you need a place to put the ice cube. You can't just like keep rubbing around until it's gone.
I think that's what Spike Lee did in the scene. Oh. Is he was like, I'm just getting rid of this ice cube.
You put it in your mouth and you sensually crunch it.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing was she wasn't going to have sex with him. She was like, no, I ain't having sex with you. And
it's
he was
hot.
Like, okay, well, hold on 1 second. And then he went and got it. Yeah, basically.
I think that's a really nice. I've actually think about the ice cube thing a lot, and I haven't seen that movie and I haven't seen that scene, but I do.
God, have you? It's one of like, it's a really
I may
good
have
movie.
Seen the movie. You I may have
for sure have seen it.
But the when we talk, sometimes we talk to people about like how to keep your sex life spicy or like how to try new things, and I'm like, this is like one of the most basic things you can do. It's like put an ice cube in your mouth or put an ice cube on the body, but I actually have never done it. So
highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's not as much one of those big sensual things like, you know, BDSM or tying someone up. It's just like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it is. There's a lot of sexual component to you, but there's also some hilarity to it because it's a slippery ice cube.
So yeah.
Like, you just like shoot an ice cube off in the distance.
And, yeah.
Or
yeah.
You like put it on your stomach and it just like falls off and then it's just lost in your covers. You just have to commit to having a wet spot.
Wet spot on the covers. Actually, the other day I did something for the first time that was so awesome. And it went off really well. Becca really, really dug it. I was going down on Becca. And I think we were like maybe a little bit intoxicated. So I reached over and I grabbed this big glass of water and I took a huge gulp of it. But for some reason, I was like, I'm going to go down on her, but try to keep all of this water in my mouth the whole time. So I like created this like reverse vacuum seal, like between my mouth and her pussy.
You weren't just blasting water up her
pussy. Yeah, I just went...
I literally thought you
like
were just
a whale.
Go,
I
was
gonna
squirrel.
No, it was the reverse. So I continuously had to like keep sucking in. And the, and like air would go, like would sneak into my mouth and it would bubble up. The, like the water would be like bubbling and kind of like churning in my mouth.
She's appalled. Maynard is appalled.
Yeah, Maynard's up here on the couch. She's just like, oh my God.
Burying her face in her arms.
Do you not like that little story? Huh? Anyway, anyway, all right. Well, let's bring it back to H and Shameless here. I know that, so I've got one, I've really just have one question. How was a foursome?
Oh, yeah.
An MFFF foursome.
Oh, intimidating. So intimidating.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, listening to her podcast, we both had the same opinion on it. It felt a lot like two couples kind of fucking, which was still great and still like very sensual and awesome. You know, I mean, there was definitely some highlights for me. I got a 3-person blowjob in my kitchen.
What is that like?
That was amazing. Like, it was so good.
I mean, my first thought is if you have 3 people on your penis, it must be a substantial size.
Oh, it's got to be at least 12 inches. I mean, look at H. Look at him.
They're an intimidatingly sized man.
Yeah. That's always been like a distant like boys, like a young boy Jeremy fantasy of, you know.
It's so funny you said that. That was exactly how I was going to describe it. It was just my inner child being like, pump, fist
I did
pump.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah. Yeah. Screw all you guys who said that I couldn't get a girl. Ha.
Yeah, right, right. Because, me and you had this conversation actually at Good Robot one time.
Yeah.
I think you were telling me like you were a fat kid.
Quite fat. Yeah.
Growing up. And you really didn't have much luck with, you know, like girlfriends or relationships when you were younger. And then that all sort of started to change when you hit university.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to kind of put it in a bit of perspective, in grade 9, I came into grade 9 at like, at 240.
Holy fuck, 240
pounds?
Yeah.
Thick. In grade 9.
Grade 9. I was
and you're not super tall, were
no,
you like
no, I'm at 5'9" a bit.
5'9". Holy shit, dude, that's a big kid.
Yeah. I was thick.
Whoa.
42-inch waist.
Whoa.
I remember I had two of my smaller, you know, at that age the size discrepancy is massive. So I had two friends come over and they both fit in a pant leg.
Oh, like
one in
one,
my leg, God.
One in one pant leg, one in the other.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. So then how did that, where did that all, like, tell us about that. Where did that all change? Like,
yeah, what was for me, I never was a big sports kid. My mom always pushed me into sports. She was, you know, played sports forever. And I was like, video games, like, all the time, every day. Got into grade 9, and then I got into rugby, actually. And it was kind of this thing where at grade 9, when I was so big, I excelled at it because
you're a brick wall.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going up against kids literally less than half my size.
Yeah.
You know, 110, 120 pound grade 9. So it was just like impossible. So I found a lot of success in it and it kind of carried over for me where success led to me being more motivated and then back and forth. And then all through high school, I kind of struggled with my weight because I would lose it in the summer playing a ton of rugby and then just pack it all back on in the winter. Until finally grade 12, I got, you know, two of my best friends got me into lifting weights.
The same two that fit in your pant legs?
Right? No, not the same two. No. These are two.
That would have been a great story. You know, like that's a Netflix special right there.
No, these are two of my rugby friends. And funny enough, nowadays, we're all like the exact same size and build.
Sure, right.
It's very strange how we all, like, one of them was super skinny, the other one was, like, in the middle, and I was really fat, and then we've just kind of
morphed,
xenomorphed into this, like, friendship group where we're all the same size and we steal each other's clothing all the time.
Right.
And they got me into lifting weights, and I got braces in grade 12, and then all that culminated in, at the end, when I went to university, got my braces off, and was now, like, fit, and had nice teeth, and I was like, oh my God, girls find me attractive. What?
Yeah. What's going on? What was that experience like finally having, you know, like attention from females? And like, you up to that point, you just didn't have it, right? So,
no, I was like every girl's best friend.
Was it super jarring?
It was jarring. And it was like, not to sound cocky, but it's like, is this how easy it is for attractive people? Mm. You just have to like look at someone and go, hey. And then there's a conversation starter, and then all of a sudden you're having sex with this person.
Right, sure.
And I'm like, what? What is this crazy world I've gotten into?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This upside down
what
world.
What skills did you have to develop because you were not traditionally good looking?
See, that's the other end of it as well, is that, that's funny you say that, is that I had to be like every girl's best friend, so I had to learn how to talk to women, because a lot of guys, you know, especially guys that are attractive right out of the gate, they never have learned how to
talk
to women.
It's really better when they just keep their mouths closed.
Yeah,
generally.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're not a different species. Mm-hmm. You just talk to them the exact same way you talk to anyone else and have a conversation, listen to what they say, respond accordingly. And so that, and cooking as well.
Yeah. Wow.
So both those
smart
things. Right? Playing a long game.
Cookie.
Long game.
Yeah. And so like you did you just, I guess you just kind of fell into this, this new lifestyle sexually where
did you go for it?
Yeah. Did you just go to fucking town?
Yeah. Massive hoe.
Yeah.
And also learned a lot because, you know, I never really had the experience of like having two or three girls want to sleep with me and be sleeping with at the same time and just blowing so many things up completely.
Mm-hmm.
Just like massive explosions, being like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Okay.
Right. Yeah. You mean like emotionally, like, you know, people's feelings and things like that.
Yeah. You know, getting slapped and all that fun stuff.
Right. Sure.
You got slapped?
Oh yeah.
What'd you get slapped for?
So,
I got slapped once, but I'm just curious why other people get slapped.
No, I mean, funny enough, the time I got slapped was actually kind of a misunderstanding. Which is weird.
That's
like
what they all
out of no out of all the possible reasons I would have gotten slapped for, this one was legitimately a misunderstanding. I had recently broken up with my ex girlfriend at the time, and was seeing a new girl. And me and my team wanted like our big rugby game, and I told the new girl, I'm like, I'm gonna get absolutely blackout drunk tonight. I might end up at your place. I might not.
You told her that?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, a preface. I'm going to be three sheets to the wind if you see me tonight. Like, just take care of me. So I finally make it in to the bar, and my ex-girlfriend and her friends are there, and they see me just, like, stumbling around, eyes closed. I should not have been let in. So they just feed me some water and put me up at the back bar, and I have my head on my ex-girlfriend's shoulder. I don't remember any of this. This is all third-hand telling, by the way. Put my head on my ex-girlfriend's shoulder because I'm just like dead to the world. And the new girl saw this and thought I was making out with her.
No.
My ex-girlfriend was totally sober at this time, so I double checked with
her
the next day.
She's just like, yeah, I know this guy.
This is also such a like romantic comedy, like Adam Sandler kind
totally.
Of like moment.
Yeah. So the only thing I remember of that night is really two things. One is the look on the girl's face when she shoved my ex-girlfriend and cranked me.
Whoa.
And whoa. It was just like, boom, back to blackout.
Yeah. And then you were already there.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
She sent you right back.
And then all of a sudden I'm outside the bar and she's tearing a strip off me. And I'm like, why are you mad at me? What did I do? And I have no recollection of anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, like, I guess if you dive straight in, after, you know, an entire lifetime of never being in relationships or, you know, having sex and like there's no like lead up, no warm up to it. You're going to run into
the stories that I love, to be honest with you, because I was a super geeky, gawky kid and I just could not, like, I was just never cool enough to date or sleep with. And I remember I had like members of my cohort that were like similar, and then I didn't slut it up right away. I wish I had, but anyway, I did not. But my girlfriends kind of did, and I was like, yeah, they're like revenge slutting it up. They're like going out there and there's like breaking hearts and sleeping with everybody, and there's something kind of admirable about that. Kind of envious. I was kind of envious about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
was kind of in the same boat, I guess.
You were the funny guy.
I was like the funny guy who was friends with all the girls, but none of the girls wanted me. And then I got, but then I got my braces off, and I remember that one, there was one night I got my braces off. It was like the first party of that night, and I remember just being like, something's different here. I feel different. Like, everyone's looking at me different. Yeah. I think someone even said, like, you have a nice smile, and I think like that I came my pants, like, just from that. Like, picture, oh God,
I picture you as like Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man.
That was exactly what it was like. Yes. That
is. Take the glasses off and just, yeah, like, I don't need these.
Yeah, that was,
I'm
it,
I'm jacked now.
Yeah, that was it. Except I'd never been jacked.
Oh man, God. I remember my older sisters being like, you know what, sometimes you're born and you go through elementary school and junior high and high school and you're just like one of those beautiful kids, and sometimes you grow into your looks, and that's better. And I was like, that is not comforting to me. I'm in grade 7, and I am awkward, yeah, as fuck.
I think it is better, though.
It is better.
Because even...
I get it, in junior high, it does not feel better.
Even as an adult now...
It's a long game.
Even as an adult now, like, I meet people, and I feel like there's some people you can tell that they grew into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those people are always, they always tend to be just a little more
empathetic.
Yeah. And have a little bit of a better sense of humor, mm-hmm, you know, and like a little more charming.
They had to develop other skills, yeah, to get by.
It. Yeah. That's it.
Survival, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it. You had to learn how to survive. Shameless, yeah, was the same way.
Yeah.
You should see some of her photos.
She's a babe. Yeah. Oh my God. She I saw is, her the other, yeah, day and I was like, ah,
she's a babe.
Why she's such a babe?
Yeah, she's got her makeup down, like on point.
Her whole look. Anybody who knows what they fucking look like, and yeah, they know their look. I'm like, oh, I'm just jealous of,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you guys are definitely like a power couple there.
I like to think so.
Yeah,
I feel very lucky that we met and we had a funny meetings and funny first dates, and I'm happy that she was like a weird emo teen.
Yeah,
for a long time.
Well, what was your first date like?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So our first date, we went to your father's mustache.
And for those non-Haligonians,
yeah,
that's like, well, how would you describe your father's mustache?
I would just describe it like Kelsey's, kind,
sure,
of.
Sure, okay, yeah.
With more taps.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, it's a restaurant, but it's also kind of like chainy, and it's just a food factory.
Yeah, it's like you basically went to Applebee's.
Applebee's.
Let's be real.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Well, it was tough because,
why that? Because you cook. You're a bit of a foodie, and
yeah,
she clearly is into food too. And like, you guys
It was just like a weird, like, where do you want to go? And we were trying to figure out, because it had to be lunch, because she was working that night and I was working that night. So it's like, where are we gonna go? And we wanted to find a place with a patio, and there's not that many at that time. There wasn't that many like lunch spots with a patio.
Oh,
so
yeah, they have a rooftop, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then our first day was funny. I talk a lot, but she like blew me out of the water. I was just eating away, and I think I said maybe 2 or 3 paragraphs the entire time of sentences, and she's just like da, 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 in the nicest way, like telling me her whole life story and like,
oh,
everything.
The best.
It was awesome. And she did ask a couple like hilariously, we joke now, but they're like pretty serious questions. Like she jumped into like back to back. It was so funny, and well, dark funny. She was like, so tell me about your family. Like I told her about my mom and my brother, and then she's like, okay, what about your dad? I'm like, well, funny story, he passed away when I was 21. She's like, ooh. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of weird. I didn't know him at all. They split up when I was super young. So it was just like, I got a phone call. I was like, hey, your dad's dead. And I'm like, okay,
cool. I don't know how to feel about
exactly
that.
I went to the funeral. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk more about that, but just a side note, continue.
Yeah, yeah. So she's, you know when you struck those really awkward questions and you just like, feel like, oh my God, what did I do? And you're just panicking, trying to like get out of it. And so the next question she leads into is like, do you have any tattoos? And I, at that time, I only had the one, which is a back piece. And she's like, oh, what's your back piece? I'm like, well, funny story, I had like 5 of my friends die in a car accident when I was younger.
Oh my God.
Back to back. Just like,
oh,
bam, bam.
Oh my God.
And she's just sitting there like, I'm like, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. But like,
Holy moly.
Yeah, you should have seen her face.
Yeah, I bet.
Was she just like, oh my God, I just talked for 45 minutes and I turned the mic to you and you'd fucking laid some serious shit down.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. So you were raised by your mom?
I was, yep.
And you have a brother?
I do, yeah.
Do you have other siblings?
Nope, just a brother.
And is he older or younger?
He's older.
Okay. Are you guys close?
No. We are like fire and oil. Like, we just blow up.
Really?
Every time we get together, yeah.
Interesting. Whoa. Like, and always have been like that?
Yeah. I look like the milkman's son, honestly. Like, I get a lot of my looks from my dad's side, which is like Italian, so like square, pretty much a refrigerator. With dark hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like my mom's side, which is like super tall. He's like 6'5" and blonde and like fair skinned. And I'm like, how are we related?
Right.
How far an age are you apart?
18 months.
Oh my God, that's so close together. And you didn't get along ever?
No, 0%.
Your poor mother.
I know.
Oh my God, how did she handle that?
She did her best.
Yeah.
You know, it was more just like put up walls and try to...
Boundaries
and just like steer each other.
Two different houses.
Like, the nice part about it is, so we were 2 years apart in school, even though we were only 18 months, which is great for separating friend groups.
Mm.
And then we also went to different high schools because where I lived, you had two choices. You could go to the Catholic school or you could go to the other high school. The Catholic school was only a 15-minute bus ride, but the other high school was like a 40-minute bus ride.
Okay.
But I was also in elementary school 2 years longer than he was, so I was like, I'm going to go with my friends who are all going to the other high school.
Mm. Right? Are you guys similar at all in terms of your, like,
no.
Your, like, nothing at all?
Nothing. I honestly struggle to find a single thing we have in common. He doesn't like...
You know what? I bet you he's had an MFFF threesome.
There's some random for sure.
Yeah, something fucking crazy. He's just like, oh, you had three girls blowing you at one time? So did I, bro. And then you guys high five, and it's your best friends.
Yeah,
and I've seen this movie.
You move in together and you get bunk beds, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, there's more room for activities.
Beautiful future. You're raised by your mom. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me have you reflected on like how that affected your view of like dating and sex and females and stuff like that?
It's like weird. Like, it's a weird juxtaposition, actually, because like I love women. I think women are the best thing to happen to anything ever. They're beautiful and funny and great to look at, and they make everything so much better. But it's also like, I haven't been the greatest to them at times.
Mm.
And, you know, it's something...
Starting with your mom.
No, my mom is a saint. And she's the absolute best. You know, she did an amazing job with us, and she's amazing to this day. Like, if you ever speak to Shameless again and ask her about her, like, she loves my mom and they get along super well. And she's like a teetotaling Buddhist vegetarian, like this just super hippie lady that raised me, that I'm not like her at all in that respect, but mm-hmm. she's wicked. But in terms of how I treat women, it was very strange, like growing up, 'cause I went through that phase of, you know, all these women wanting my attention, and then I didn't know how to handle their emotions and feelings, and I'd be like sleeping with a few girls at the same time, and then they'd find out and like yell at me, and I'm like, I told you I didn't want a date, like I didn't see any problem with this. But you know, growing up, I learned that that was not the right move to do, and yeah.
Turn Me On, we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I loved a boy named Harry when I went to school in England, and but I pronounced his name Harry.
Harry.
Because Harry was too weird for me to say as a 14-year-old girl in England. I was like, his name is Harry. And he had blonde, what we called curtains at the time, which were these like bangs. And he was also very round.
You spoke with an English, like a Canadian accent, but every time you said his name, you'd revert to
Harry.
Harry.
And then there were a few other things I changed my accent for too, like quid. And I don't know, like kebab.
Tuppence.
Tuppence.
Just to change gears for a moment, coming to the point of, you know, you and Shameless having gone through this period, this stage where you guys were attempting and securing like a lot of threesomes between the two of you and having fun with that. Mm-hmm. As someone, you know, growing up who like didn't have wasn't having much sex and sort of fell into it. Was this thing of threesomes, was like, that's something that you've always wanted to try or experience?
I mean, I think speaking pretty generally, most guys, if you were like, do you want to have a threesome?
Yeah.
Probably going to say yes.
Yeah.
But even like beyond that, I think for me, it was definitely one of those things that I always wanted to try for sure and kind of explore with that side, because, you know, like I said earlier, I love women. I think they're the best thing in the whole wide world. And so I always not struggled with, you know, monogamy, but it was also one of those things where it's like, I really love girls, and it, you know, it'd be nice to just like
have more than one at
yeah,
the same time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right.
Would you ever tell your mom you like threesomes?
Oh, no. Oh, no. My mom thinks the absolute world of me and that the sun shines out of my butt. Like, she likes to make jokes. She's like, ha ha ha, like, you never do drugs? I'm like, I love drugs, Mom.
But not pot with my brother.
Yeah, not pot with my brother.
Did you ever, would you say that you have or have thought about like a sexual bucket list, per se?
I mean, yeah, I find most of the sexual bucket lists that I've at least thought of have usually been with just the one partner. Like, you know, me and we'll like straight up make a list of things we want to do.
Yeah.
That's a guess.
He's making a note.
Yeah, making a note. And I chirped her so hard for
she said her name a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but other than that, in terms of like sexual bucket list, not really. I just was having fun in the moment of just like wheeling and dealing, meeting new people and having fun and just like really like being super relaxed about it. Just taking every opportunity, like get randomly invited to weddings last minute and just go and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Are you into the idea of an MMF threesome at all?
When we first started this, after our first threesome, I was like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we kind of explore this side of us, I think I'd be more open to it. But I think the problem that I would have is that like most of the guys that would be involved is just like, I want to fuck your girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like it's a different kind of unicorn.
Yeah. It's a totally different kind of unicorn. And I don't know if I would have to be attracted to him. I mean, for the most part, I find guys not very attractive. I look like a gorilla. If you just describe me anatomically, like a thick upper body
and
like long arms, like hairy kind of all over, right? But it would be someone I have to be like comfortable and like friendly with, and I don't know. It's definitely one of those things that the more me and Shameless explore that side of our sexuality, the more I'm like, I could potentially be open to it. I think I'd be more open to it in like a group setting than I would in like a just us in a room together.
Why do you think it is, and I'm posing this question to both of you, that is so acceptable to have an FFM threesome and having that to the idea that your girlfriend might get to view your girlfriend having pleasure from another man. Like, can you just talk me through that a little bit? Because getting pleasure from another woman is one thing that I've noticed that a lot of men don't seem to feel as threatened by as watching your girlfriend get pleasure from another man. And I just, like, it's maybe it's self-explanatory, maybe it's obvious, but can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know, because I've thought about this a couple of times. I mean, maybe there is this, like, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, in general, from what I've been able to tell, and I think we've actually talked about this with a professional, women tend to be more inclined to be turned on by the same sex than the majority of males who don't identify as gay. Like, so more straight women will be more inclined to be turned on by the thought of other women, much more so than straight men being turned on by the idea of another male. And so I feel like that there's something at play there where it makes it a little easier to like swallow that pill as a guy. I don't know.
I think you're on kind of the right path. I also think that's like a slight cop out as well for guys, where it's just like, I'm not attracted to guys, so that's a no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So for me, it's, you know, I think it's general male insecurity. Like, I'm like watching my girlfriend get pleasured by another guy. I'm like, is this guy better than me? Like, do I have to fight this guy after this?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's just innately through men in general and the general raising of men and males these days, that's built in of that sense of competition, the sense of you having better. It's the same reason, like, we compare penis sizes.
Yeah.
That's literally what you're doing with your girlfriend's vagina.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, the idea of doing it, the idea of having a MFM threesome with a female that I don't really know or don't have an emotional connection to, to me, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I would do that if someone hit me up today and was like, come over, we're having an MFM threesome.
If you're the third.
And I'm the third, then sign me up. I'm in. I have no problems doing it.
It's amazing how many of my friends, that's the exact story. I have like a dozen or more guy friends that have done that. Just like random nights at the bar and like all this craziness. And, you know, these are like your traditional like macho kind of guys. And that's the story.
Yeah. But then the thought of doing it with Becca or doing it with you, it's I don't feel good about it. Yeah. It's like, it's a lot harder, but the thought of having a threesome with Becca and another female, I'm cool with. Although if that other female is a lesbian and I have no relation to that.
Yeah.
Yet Becca and this other woman have like emotional ties. That was a little challenging for me. Mm. You know, like I had insecurities there. So I think it really just boils down to like, I don't know, man. Fuck. I don't know. I think honestly, it's like, it's one of those things that we should just get over.
Well, you know? I mean, you have to keep talking about it and like,
yeah.
I think one of my tactics in general with like, approaching things that are a bit uncomfortable for me is like, okay, imagine yourself in this situation. Put yourself outside your comfort zone in your imagination where you're confronted with feelings you don't really want to deal with. And that's how I kind of wear away at my own sensitivities.
Yeah.
And so I just put that out there because I'm not expecting, honestly, you to have any new answers. And I don't, you know, like I'm assuming there's some sort of evolutionary reason for this as well.
Perhaps.
But
yeah.
I just think it's probably a good question to ask yourself once in a while.
Yeah.
And be like, try to reason yourself around it. And
it's funny because it's like, it's one of the things that I want to, it's like on my bucket list to do. But the idea of, you want to do it too, Maynard? Sign me up. All right, here we go, Maynard.
Maynard's at death door. She's like, I have something I need to say. Hey, Maynard, no barking.
Hey,
no
barking. Hey.
No barking, shush. Baby girl. No barking. Hey. I think not being sought after sexually in high school made me more empathetic as well, which is why I fostered these dogs that can't walk. Hey, Jesus. Quiet.
Maynard. Hey.
Maynard.
No.
It's okay.
Good girl. Good girl.
It's okay.
Good girl.
Go back to being peaceful and regal. They're talking to dogs outside. I'm so curious after 101 Dalmatians what they're talking about. What kind of message are they spreading? Has someone been kidnapped? Have many puppies been kidnapped?
Oh, no. Do they have to fight Cruella de Vil?
Stop it.
How do we tie this back in? Just doing a little bit of editing here. I got cut off basically talking about wanting to bang.
Well, you were saying your bucket list is to do this. And I always think... Well, at least from my perspective, I find it strange how we're super uncomfortable with that ideal of MFM threesomes. But, like, I would be much more open in it, like, a group setting. Like,
yeah.
If it was, like, six people, like, three and three going at it.
Yeah.
That would, like...
Have you ever been in that situation before?
No, no. Close. Two off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there's parties in Halifax that happen... semi-frequently.
Yeah, yeah. Please talk to them about me, or talk to me about them.
Yeah.
And we've discussed it, and it's like, I feel like it's one of those things that we're going to have to dip our toes in and explore. I don't, you know, because we had not a bad experience with the foursome, but it was one of those things that, like, it definitely threw a wrench in our relationship for a little bit afterwards, because we didn't have that time, like you guys talked about, to digest and talk. And
do you feel the same way about that 100% situation?
Yeah, our relationship was super out of whack.
Yeah,
for a couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah,
because we were on super opposite schedules, and we didn't have time to talk about it. And she was unhappy, and I was unhappy, and we weren't having sex. And then there's this, like, this third party that's being like, "Hey, talk to us. What's going on?
Yeah,
when are we gonna get together again?
Yeah, right.
And you know, not to sit." Talk ill of them. This was just a kind of mistake on our part of learning curve thing, and now we know, like,
yeah,
you know, the first one, I know you all talked about the very first threesome we had. It was amazing and great, and one of the best parts about that is me and her dropped the girl off at her place afterwards, and we just went to Stillwell, and
yeah,
we had some food and a drink, and it was amazing. We just, like, dude, was that good for you? Was, yeah, it was good for me. Was,
yeah,
that good for you? What did you like? I like this. Yeah.
It's kind of,
yeah,
nice. That's, I like that, as opposed to just, like, rolling over and talking about it in bed. Like, yeah, actually get out of the space that it happened in. And
that's a timing thing, man. I feel like we got to get more into that. Like, sex earlier in the day, you know, when with dates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know you're grinding your teeth at me because you were like,
hello,
I've been asking to fuck at 1 p.m. every day.
That's my time. Who's doing it at 11?
Yeah, but like on a date scenario, you know, it's like, yeah, we always resort to dates at like 9 p.m.
No,
it's
no,
like, what the fuck?
You go out at like 7.
Yeah.
You got 2 hours a date.
Yeah.
And then you're back at your place at 9:30.
Yeah, and then you got a whole night ahead
Let's
of you.
Let's be wholesome about this. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're
in
adults.
In bed by 11, maybe.
We're fucking adults. This is great.
Breakfast the next day?
Yeah. Well, is there anything we didn't touch on, H, that you were hoping we would dive into?
You had one, didn't you?
Did I?
I think you did. I feel like you told me you really wanted to ask about... I'm just going to say, we can edit out if I'm incorrect, but we can talk about being pegged.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! I forgot all about that.
I debated letting it slide.
Oh, like, you know, yeah.
What? You know what?
Yeah, so, like? Yeah, so tell me about the pegging thing. Because here's the thing,
okay,
is that this didn't come up on Shameless's episode.
Oh, I know. She said that you were very heartbroken afterwards.
Where it did come up was there was another time where we had talked and it came up in conversation with Shameless through this like little 20 questions thing that we did with her.
Oh, I heard.
And she dropped the pee bomb that she's into pegging. And I didn't know this about you because you and I know each other.
Yeah, we do.
And so I was like, oh my God, what? H gets pegged. That's so crazy. So how did that come about? Whose idea was it?
Tell us about it.
Give me all the fucking details. I love it. This is great.
So very much her idea.
Okay.
That whole side of me,
The backside.
Is one of those things that I find guys, for the most part, are super reluctant to.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, for me, it was like, I got super drunk with this girl, and she just, like, went to town on me, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? What are you doing back there?
Hello.
Okay, you were hammered. She was all of a sudden pegging you?
No. Okay. No, this is just the lead-in in regards to, like, guys in terms of opening that end of themselves sexually.
Yeah, having a finger in your ass or a tongue in your ass,
exactly,
or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was always like, nope, not for me. And then
why are guys so shy about having their buttholes approached?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's another good question. There's
a lot of girls out there that are shy about having their buttholes approached.
That's true.
I suppose that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think guys are just more reluctant because it immediately brings back to that. Yeah, right? Yeah. That masculinity thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I never thought about it. And then one time I was drunk with this girl and just kind of ended up on my backside. I'm like, whoa, this is nice. I really like this.
Was she just licking your ass? Or
Yeah.
Just spread cheeks, tongue in there.
Going to town.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm like, this is nice.
Yeah.
I could do this more often.
Yeah.
You know, that little light bulb pops off.
Yeah.
Sexual light bulb. Like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so me and Shelly, you know, explored that end of myself sexually bit, and I knew it was one of those things. She dropped that bomb on me like probably like a year and a half, yearish, into our relationship, and so I was like, okay, maybe. And it was one of those things, and I think we had talked about it, and I think I bought her a little pegging dildo for our anniversary or something.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's like, this is for you. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it.
And like, how big are we talking? Like,
very little.
Like my pinky finger?
Have you had a finger up your butt?
Yes, I have.
And how much more than one finger can you fit?
Oh, well, I've only had just one.
Right? And how was that?
Pretty intense.
Yes.
It was intense. Yes. So like, it was about,
no, it's like a finger.
Pinky finger.
Yeah,
size?
Yeah. Okay. It's like literally if you just stretch out your index finger.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
That's roughly like, you know, circular.
I've never had my finger that far up anybody's butt.
I think I haven't had a full finger in there, but I've had up to the knuckle.
First knuckle? That's not very far.
No, I think the second knuckle.
The second knuckle? Okay.
I think so.
Wow.
We're going to have to confirm this and then check back in because I don't know.
How are we
going to
confirm this?
I can ask Becca. Because I don't think you've had your...
I literally thought you were just going to walk outside and then just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to confirm this right now. Yeah. That's about how much. Yeah.
That's as much as I can take.
So, okay. So it was this little peg.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was intense. Like, you know, I was super nervous. How you girls trust us with fucking you in the ass. I have no idea.
I know. It's
honestly
crazy.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
The amount you have to go, hey, just slow down for a minute.
I promise
you, if you take 10 minutes for the introductory period, then it's, you know, you're
fair
probably
game.
Fair game.
Yeah.
But you got to take your time for like the first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, you got
to
be super patient.
Yeah, lots and lots of lube.
Yeah, spit doesn't work.
Spit
doesn't count.
It's okay a bit.
Doesn't count. It's not going to cut.
No, you need lube.
It's not going to cut it. But now when she first used it, was she using it by hand or was she wearing it?
She wore it.
So she had a strap on, like a harness.
Yeah.
Okay.
She bought the harness for our first threesome.
Right.
Which was amazing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. Okay, cool.
Bought the harness For the woman.
Yes.
In the threesome. Got it.
Yeah. We had a great moment. I call it the double fuck. It's great.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Double penetration?
No. It was, she was fucking the girl, and because of the way the harness is oriented, I was fucking her, but I could grab the girl's hips and use my motion to, like, I'm the driving force in all of this.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
I just got a little twinge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to go get one of these.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I was like, that was definitely my favorite part in regards to that threesome. It was
for
like,
sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So she had the harness.
She already had the harness.
Had the harness.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I was like, you know, you deal with me sticking up your butt all the time. Like, this is
all the time.
This is. Sorry.
Left, right, and center.
Yeah. Yeah. She told you about our third date, right? So I was like, this is fair. I mean, this is only fair. And I'm like, you know, if we're going to try to explore sexuality in all its forms, like, let's try.
Yeah.
And it was intense. We only have ever done it the one time.
Too intense? Or like, it was intense and it's like, this is for special occasions,
I also think
anniversaries,
it was,
and Christmas only?
I think so-ish from my perspective, but it's also one of those things that, like, think of like the first time you've done anal with a girl, and like, that was like, oh, super special. And then,
yeah,
like, you know, 3 months down the road, like, fuck me in the ass.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those things I feel like maybe it was also just like a little awkward as well, because I'm so much bigger than her.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like almost double the size of her. And I have I have thick hindquarters.
Yeah, right.
It's a lot
of
butt to get through.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it was good. It was strange.
Well, I got to say this. I've never really had interest in being pegged, and I've been asked a couple of times, and I've always said no. Mostly because I just don't have much interest in it. But you're now, I think, maybe the third male we've had on the show who's been pegged by their loved one. And the more I hear about it, the more I'm just pushed a little closer to being like, that sounds kind of interesting. That sounds kind of fun.
In my opinion, it's like, give it a shot.
Yeah.
You don't know
what you're missing, you know, until you try it.
You're not going to lose it up there.
No, exactly. Yeah, right? Especially if it's, yeah, well, if it's on that.
It's on the harness.
If it's on the harness.
Right?
Then,
you're not going to lose it up there. Right. And like, give it a try. And I'm not going to say it didn't feel good. It felt great. You know?
Yeah.
You definitely, I feel like I would like it more, strange enough, in a threesome.
Yeah.
Like, if I could get pegged and have a girl suck my dick at the same time.
Yeah,
I feel like I would enjoy that a lot more.
Did you orgasm from it? Did you have like a
No, prostate? I didn't.
Have you ever had a prostate orgasm?
I have not, actually.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like.
Me too.
I mean, I've come by having a finger up my ass while I'm getting jerked off or whatever, and that is so intense, so I can't even imagine what, like, you know. Was it getting your prostate milked? Is that what technically is?
I mean, maybe you probably did. Like, it might not be that much more mysterious than all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Like, the orgasm afterwards was great.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so, like, everything's still kind of sensitive down there.
Yep.
Right? And it's just like, oh, this feels amazing. And I'm, like, twinging and, like,
and you're kind of vulnerable.
Yeah.
A vulnerable orgasm is an intense orgasm where you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been having these travel, like, post-travel orgasms. Like, because when I travel, I'm usually staying with people. So, like, you know, there's not a lot of, like, jerk-off time.
Right.
And so I'm building up these, like,
loads.
These loads.
Yeah.
And then when I come home, it's like, the fucking huge orgasms that are so intense because, you know, it's like I'm backed up from, like, 8-9 days of nothing. And then all of a sudden, boosh.
Yeah, I wasn't get myself off a lot when I was on PI working either. I actually, come to think of it, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it that way, but the last time I came was extremely intense.
Yeah, yeah.
From not having done so for a while.
Jeremy. Do it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
What's the worst that's gonna happen?
I mean, hey, I'm not opposed to it. Right, so that's one step closer.
What about psychologically? Is there something behind it of like being dominated as a dominating person? Because that's like pretty easy, and I don't say this lightly, maybe I'm misspeaking, but I feel like it's pretty easy for a woman to be like, I'm dominant in my personal life and my career, and so I like to be dominated in the bedroom. Mm. So as a man, do you find like that there's something about being dominated in that way?
Yeah, a bit. I think it just stems back to, I think, who we are sexually in the bedroom. I find most people are one way or the other. They're either very dominant or very submissive. There are obviously, well, a lot of people in between, but you know, me and it's very much one way. Every time.
Yeah, you both did it so much.
Damn.
It's love.
Right? Yeah, me and her, it's very one way or the other. I'm very dominant. She's very submissive. But that being said, it's like, you know, as a guy who it has been nice to the odd time, like get tied up.
It's nice to switch it up.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And it was super submissive. That's probably why we haven't done it again. Cause it was like, I don't know, it was too much, or we just haven't gone down that road again. Or, you know, we talked about it and I wouldn't be opposed to doing it again.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, you know, chomping at the bit to try it. But if she's like, honey, let's do this, I'd be like, all right, good. Pour me a glass, a couple glasses of bourbon. Let's get this party rolling.
Yeah.
Do you worry at all that as your relationship progresses into like longer and longer term, that like sex will become more of a like less spontaneous or less like inspired?
I do. And actually, it's one of those things that we, you know, when I know she talked to you guys about our troubles that we've had, where I was having really big issues with my job and so was she, and we didn't have sex, and it's like, what is going on? We used to, you know, smash like jackrabbits like all the time. It's definitely one of those things that I worry about, but I think if, you know, for me, I've been very conscious of it, and you know, there's odd times where it's really, you don't really have time, but you're both kind of in the mood.
Yeah.
Just make time.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah. Just do it.
Just yeah. If she reaches over and, you know, grabs the bull by the horn, like go.
Yeah.
Full steam ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and you just have to, I think it's one of those things that if you can still do that every so often, it's signs of good, you know. And I think the threesomes and the foursomes help that. It's like, not, I don't want to say a stopgap or a band-aid measure, but they like bring it back up, right? It's like, you know, you have a dip in a bit of your sexuality and your sex life, and you have a threesome or a foursome or some of these crazy sexual experiences, and all of a sudden it's like,
boost your confidence,
right?
Boost it boosts your
fuel for your imagination.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. 100%.
So, yeah. I mean, that for me is the biggest reason why, and I think for her the same route, why we still want to continue on with having threesomes or foursomes or whatever. It's like, we're not super into the idea of like polyamory, at least yet. We've talked about it a bit, but it's more just we enjoy having that sexual experience together because it just like gives us a little shot of energy that'll sail us through for another like 3 months, four months, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's one of those aspects of being in a long-term relationship you have to like anticipate and plan ahead for. Mm-hmm. Because too often, I think you get into a new relationship and you're like, oh, this is fiery. It's going to last forever. And then when it doesn't, you go, oh, fuck, I made the wrong decision. Yeah. I should be with somebody else. And it's like, no, this is actually like a thing that everybody deals with in their relationship. And there's a way. There's definitely a way.
Ooh.
I think
that's my new favorite question.
Yeah, I think all relationships kind of have that ebb and flow. And you don't have to have a threesome or foursome. Like, but you do, like you said, you have to make time. You have to. Let's go. Let's rent a cabin.
Everyone has their ways.
Let's just get weird with each other for a whole like night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get some drugs, get some booze, and just get weird for 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
Get rid of the kids, get rid of the dogs.
Exactly. Like you need that time alone. You need to get back in because we're so time constrained in our day-to-day lives. It's like, okay, got like an hour here, you know, half a night here, and you got to make food and this and that.
Put your phone away, put your computer away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, this is great.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm glad we were able to get you in.
Same.
And have this little chat.
Yeah.
And thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another fantastic episode, as always. And in the meantime, head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, a rating, and hit the subscribe button for sure. And
if you want to support us in other ways, we are on Patreon. We do this podcast in our own time, fitting it in our busy schedules to bring you content that's interesting and informative. And any financial assistance from our listeners is is, well, greatly supported, supportive and much appreciated. And we honestly wouldn't be doing this, continuing to be doing this without your support. So
that's right.
Thank you to our subscribers on Patreon. And you can find us there, Patreon, Termion Podcast.
Yeah, patreon.com/termion.
Thank you. You know all the details.
There you go.
And Jeremy does everything.
A huge thank you to Emily Sori for the intro music and the outro music, and Rich O'Coyne for the midway music.
By the way, I saw Emily Sori in concert the other day.
She was playing
guest artist at my sister's show, Atlantic Blue, on Prince of Rhode Island at the Guild. And Emily Sori came in as a guest artist, and she just like sneaks in, kind of very unassuming, drops like 100% comedy in 5 minutes, plays like a brand new song she's never played before for anyone, brings the house down, and then is like, okay, bye, and like sneaks away. She's like,
she's just so good.
Oh, she's such a superstar.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever told the exact story of how seeing her in concert for the first time led to us ultimately opening a relationship. But maybe that's
yeah. That's time for yeah. Story. Maybe you can use that for foreplay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. That is it for this week. We love you all so much. Until next week.
Perfect yourself.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.